A very good morning on behalf of Teach 613. We welcome you to Take 10 for Talmud. Nedarim Chafav, Nedarim 26a, pagination is 51. We're going to be making reference to the Mishnah and first explanation of the Mishnah on the facing page before we get up to the explanation of Rava, which is on today's daf. We mentioned yesterday an intriguing case where a person made a vow that the figs, which he's observing people eating, but it's his figs, he makes a vow regarding the figs, Aleichem karban, they shall be like a sacrifice, like a karban, they should be forbidden so that people should not be able to eat it, and if they do, they're in serious violation, well beyond the concept of theft. The Nimtzu'u, our Mishnah told us, it turned out that his father and his brothers were among those people who were eating. And our Mishnah told us, and this is going to be our focus, because the Mishnah is accepted as a machlokes, which needs to be understood. The machlokes in the Mishnah stated, Beishamai Omrim, they are permitted, father and brothers, but those that are with them are forbidden. In other words, somehow this vow stands where it applies. But on father and brothers, where a person would not be so protective, the vow does not apply. Uvis Hillel Omrim and Beis Hillel said, Eila ve'elu mutarim, both categories of people become permitted. And as we explained in yesterday's session, because a neder shuta miktsaso hutar kulo, once part of the vow is undone, the entire vow is undone, because it's an all or nothing type of thing regarding the vow. Towards the bottom of the page, which is the piece that we did yesterday, Amar Rabba, Rabba explained that it depends which type of wording we're dealing with. As the Ran understands this, and this makes things quite easy to understand, we're looking for two criterion. One consideration is that the vow was wrong as far as the father or brothers go. And number two, even regarding the part that could remain, the wording was wrong, and therefore, we're going to undo the entire neder. But according to Rabba, if only one problem existed, namely, father and brother should never have been included in the vow, but the change of wording would not be significant, then we certainly accept that father and brothers do not become part of the vow, but we would not undo the entire neder. Watch the wording over here carefully. The person said, all of you should be in the vow. Now he wants to correct it. And he says, either, Kulchem asurim chutz me'aba, all of you remain forbidden. I'm not changing the original wording of my vow. I just wish that I would have said, except for father. Then kulan asurim va'aviv mutar. His father indeed is permitted, but everybody else remains forbidden because he didn't undo the vow fundamentally. He just said that his father doesn't belong included, and we agree. We know anybody's intent is not to include his father in such a vow of possessiveness on his figs. So what was the case of Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel arguing, if everybody agrees in that case that the vow stands regarding the other people? Lo nechluku, the case where they argued, was that the person who made the vow states, I would have said, ploni uploni asurim va'aba mutar. I would have identified this person and that person are forbidden, and my father is permitted, and the Ran explains, because a person in this corrective wording, doesn't want that even for a second it should be understood that his father is included in the prohibition. Until he ends up saying the words, Va'aba mutter, and my father is permitted, he actually was included in the prohibition as far as we understood it. And therefore the person says, I never would have even worded it like that. Had I known my father was in the group, I would never have said, all of you are forbidden, and then done the correction. I would have said, individuals are prohibited, and my father is permitted. The Ran explains, therefore, we have him correcting not just that his father was in the group, but we also have him correcting the wording of the vow. And if that takes place, then the vow doesn't stand, because at the time that he made it, it was not worded in accordance with what he wanted to do. Rava comes along and springboards from this second situation, which Rabba considers a machlokes between Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel. The second situation was that he wants to switch it to so-and-so and so-and-so should be forbidden, and my father should be permitted. And Rabba holds that's the case of the machlokes, even though you're revising it dramatically, Beis Shammai would still let the vow stand, because Beis Shammai, as Rabba understands it, does not hold of neder shehuta miktsaso huta kulo, a vow that was partially undone becomes entirely undone, and he remains saying that the part that remains, as far as your understanding to prohibit those people that are not your relatives, that part would remain. That was Rabba's position. For Rava Omar, but Rava argues and says, "The Kule Alma, everybody would agree in that case. Had I known that father was among you, I would have changed the wording and said, these specific people are forbidden and my father is permitted. Kula mutarim, everybody is permitted." Because according to Rava, everybody agrees, neder shehuta miktsaso hutar kulo, a neder that was partially undone is totally undone, because when you made it, the words did not match what you wanted to do. So then, how does Rava understand the machlokes Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel in our Mishnah, where Beis Hillel said, we allow everybody, and the vow does not stand, and Beis Shammai say the relatives are permitted, but the vow essentially does stand regarding the non-relatives? How does Rava understand that case where Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel argued? And Rava develops this and says that on the contrary, the case that Rava considered obvious, that everybody would prohibit the non-relatives, that's the case that I consider it a machlokes between Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel. Says Rava at the end of the third line, lo nechleku, they don't argue elo, except this is the case they argue. But Omer, when he says, ilu ha yisi yodea sha'aba beinechem, had I known that father was among you, ha yisi omer kulchem asurim chutz me'aba, I would have said, you're all prohibited except for father. Why would we argue in that case? Beis Shammai savri lo ki Reb Meir da amat fos lashon rishon. Beis Shammai say we follow Reb Meir, who in a dramatic statement, one statement, then a second, we follow the first statement, and that's the one that's binding. And once he said kulchem asurim, indeed is kulchem asurim, they're all prohibited. Obviously, the father has to be pulled out, because everybody understands that he wasn't the subject of such a vow. But essentially, the first part of the statement is going to stand, and we simply disregard the second part of the statement. The only reason we exclude the father is because we also understand the father is excluded. Uveis Hillel savri lo ki Rabbi Yosi. But Beis Hillel hold like Rabbi Yosi, de omar begemar devar of Adam nitfas, a person is held accountable for the second part of the statement. And since the second part of the statement, chutz me abba, except for father, is undoing the kul chamasurim, all prohibited, therefore the neder becomes one that's considered bita'us, by mistake, and is totally undone. Going back to the Mishnah, Beis Shammai say the relatives are permitted, but the others are prohibited, whereas Beis Hillel say everybody is permitted. And the reason, Rava says, is because we're following the second part of the statement, which creates a neder betos, a mistaken vow, and therefore the entire vow unravels and is not binding. Yashar koach, thank you for joining.